just to the side of his position. He grabbed one of its feet and yanked. Shorn of flesh, the leg came free, taking the foot with it. With a long, hard length of bone in his hand, the one-eyed man turned to the door. Aiming deliberately, he flung the leg and foot into the path of the oncoming barrels. It landed in front of the lead barrel. The cylinder hit the leg, then reversed direction, banging back into the barrel just behind it. Ryan aimed his Sig Sauer at the third barrel as it rolled past the first two. The heat washed over Ryan and his comrades, riding in like a thermal tide. The concussion ripping free of the fuel containers threw a sheet of flames over the immediate vicinity. Christy moved outside the tunnel, the detonator in her hand.
Ready.
Let's go!
The group pulled back, filing into the secret passageway on either side of the sideways door. JB hesitated a moment in the doorway, glancing at Ryan.
I'll be along in a minute.
JB nodded and disappeared into the tunnel.
Here's the detonator lever. You decide when to blow it.
Get them tucked in and ready. This is going to cut it thin.
I'll be waiting for you, lover.
Ryan waited, giving them a three count. He wrapped his left arm around his face to block some of the smoke, breathing through the material sandwiched in the crook of his elbow. The heat pressed against him as he squinted through the uneven brightness. Peeking out into the hallway through the smoke, Ryan watched as the soldiers came through the flames in a broken line, moving with their rifles in front of them. He ducked back in the door and dashed for the tunnel entrance. He went through it, wondering if there was a way to shut it and maybe buy them some more time. The instant after he'd passed through, though, the door wheeled smoothly shut. The light went away, except for the rectangle at the other end of the tunnel. Suddenly, the secret door wrenched open again behind him. A soldier with a flamethrower entered the tunnel. 15 feet from the door, Ryan saw that at the entrance and a little ways inside the room, a pool of gooey, unidentified chemical looked deep enough to cover him. Ryan threw himself forward. He landed in the slime face first. The flamethrower laid down a field of fire over the top of him, baking heat into his back and shoulders. Surging up from the glob, Ryan stayed low and made the entrance. He shoved his way into the room. He slid around and saw more men entering the tunnel. He armed the detonator with a flick of his thumb, then pressed the button. Christy stood in another doorway across the command center. She held out her hand. Ryan dropped the detonator and fought hard to maintain his equilibrium as he moved to Christy. He grabbed her hand and followed a half step behind her as she led the way to the Matrans unit. The others were already inside, blurred shadows beyond the dark jade armor glass. Christy took Ryan's hand, squeezing it tightly to let him know she was there, then sat cross-legged on the floor. Dropping down to his haunches with his back to the wall, Ryan glanced up as the ceiling discs came up to power, glowing with a lambent light. The familiar mist drifted up, wafting into their lungs as they breathed. He tried to prepare himself mentally for the Matran's jump, but there was no way. It was better to simply lie back and surrender to the process. He looked up, staring hard through the armor glass window of the security doors. A handful of shadows had appeared there. One of them smashed a gun butt against the glass, unable to leave even a scratch in the armor glass. Not all of Burroughs' men had died in the explosions, nor had they been blocked from coming through. A man waved the others back and raised his assault rifle. The bullet sparked, spitting yellow flashes from the armor glass that didn't appear to even chip the surface. It was almost a relief when the familiar blackness enveloped Ryan.
Lover? Lover, come back to me.
Dean?
Dean's not here. He's at school, remember?
Fireblast.
Ryan made himself sit up against the walls of the Matrans unit. He'd been dreaming that his son Dean had been snatched by Burroughs. The nightmare induced by the jump reluctantly left him. His stomach rolled, and the familiar headache throbbed at his temples. JB rested beside the door, the Uzi nestled comfortably in his hands. Mildred was beside him, on her back, and breathing slowly. Jack had curled into a fetal position, a trickle of blood seeping from his right nostril. Ryan craned his head and spotted Doc wiping weakly at the pink and yellow worms of vomit staining his black frock coat and blue denim shirt.
Doc?
Still among the living, my dear Ryan. Thank you for inquiring. I could do with a bit of a wash, I suppose.
Yeah, maybe in a little while. Ryan studied the colored armor glass, then squinted his eye when he saw the frost clinging to the outside of it. Puddles had formed inside the Matrens unit. Ryan focused on gathering his mind and energy. With Christie's help, he got to his feet.
Anybody else cold? Or is it just me?
We all are.
Wherever we are, the climate's definitely gotten bad on us.
He peered hard through the armor glass, trying to make out the details of the outside chamber. The room looked tidy, small and angular, only partially revealed by the light streaming from the Matrans unit. The chamber appeared deserted. Ryan drew the Sig Sauer and walked toward the door.
Gotta think about the men who were following us, Ryan. They were still alive. Could be they'll use the Matrans to try to come after us. If that corridor Doc and Christie mined caved in real good, they aren't gonna have many choices.
When we go out, we'll find something to keep the transmit door open. Burroughs' men shouldn't be able to make the jump unless this unit's ready to go.
Ryan opened the door and moved outside, keeping himself in a crouch to be a smaller target. His eyes strained against the gloom, and he was conscious of JB standing watch over him. The chill outside the Matrans unit was more pronounced. Ryan saw his breath fog up the air in front of him. The Matrans unit was in the back third of this anteroom. Shelves lined the walls around them. In the dim light, Christie saw that one of them held a trenching tool. She retrieved it and wedged it between the transmat door and its frame.
Good. That ought to stop a jump in.
There were two doors, one dead ahead of Ryan and one on the right. He reached into his pocket for a packet of self-lights. Working one-handed, he slipped one out. He held the match away from him so it wouldn't directly highlight him for any potential attackers.
JB?
Yeah?
Take the other door.
Got it.
Ryan moved toward his door. A rectangle of wire-meshed glass was set at eye level. Peering through it, he tried to see beyond, but couldn't. He raised the self-light. The weak yellow light bounced off some metal surfaces, but didn't give a clue as to what they were. The thin layer of frost overlaying the glass retreated, running down the metal skin of the door in tiny, diamond-bright tears.
Too dark out there. You see anything, JB?
Not a thing.
It's unlocked, so here's the drill. We take one door at a time, leaving our retreat open, and an attack front on two sides impossible. Christie, you're with me. Mildred and Doc, you follow. Jack, you're with JB.
Sure.
Ryan, I found a lamp.
If anyone's out there, they're bound to know we're here by now. Light it up.
It's been here for a while. If it's dried out, it'll burn fast for a time.
Christie put the glass back in place and held up the lamp. The reservoir was a third empty, and the thick fluid coiling in the bottom looked briny and gelatinous.
It seems someone was trying to better a concoction with apparently little true success.
Smells like bad chili farm.
Precise observation, lad, though it certainly lacks something in polish.
I hope that doesn't bother you too much, Jack, because you're going to need to grab one of the others from that shelf.
No problem.
Let's go.
The room was bigger than the one they'd just quit. More shelves lined the walls, filled with boxes, crates, and cylinders. In the center of the floor, though, was a wag. It was small, only a four-seater, but had armor plating around the sides and a rack across the back for tying cargo on. A 50-caliber machine gun was mounted on an arm that swiveled out in front of the back seat. Christie held the lamp high so the light could flood the room.
This place has a weird layout compared to what we're used to.
There's a generator over here.
See if you can get it started, Mildred.
A cursory once over of the wag gave Ryan the impression that everything looked as though it would work. Directly in front of the wag was a windowless electronic door. He tested the lock, but nothing moved.
I'm going with JB and Jack to see where that other door leads.
I'll get an inventory going.
Ryan walked back into the other room.
Listen to that. They must be trying to come through.
Ryan glanced at the unit. Christie's trenching tool was doing its job.
You test this door yet?
Unlocked.
Let's go then.
Ryan fell into position alongside JB, and they moved in swiftly, covering both sides of the room. Jack used the reflector on the lamp to aim the light into the room. Dormant computer hardware lined two walls. The third held video equipment. Besides the door, the fourth wall was totally barren. In the center of the room, a long table sat between two cryo units. Ryan peered into the glass plate at one end of the nearest cryo.